Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Dr. Ava is also a student national spokesperson for the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
And what did you mean, Mr. Foxman, when you said Louis Farrakhan is the only African-American leader? Your words exactly, sir. The last time an African-American leader stood up to anti-Semitism was Martin Luther King Jr., who said it's a sin. The only leadership that now exists in that community, the African-American community, is Louis Farrakhan. Farrakhan can assemble 20,000 people several times a year, and he flaunts his anti-Semitism, and what's worse, they deny it exists, so there's no one to talk to. Close quote. I interpret that as meaning the Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan are the only ones that we don't control. I interpret that to mean that Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam may very well be the last man standing in the way of your successful capture of black leaders, your successful capture of black professionals, your capture of black artists, your capture of black professionals, your capture of black businessmen, your capture of heads of state and government that bow to your commands. Then, if we are the last man standing, then you are calling on all of your forces to concentrate their attention on Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. Well, concentrate with everything you've got, because the God that we serve will answer effectively and efficiently and will ultimately destroy your power.
The Elevated Places call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome once again to the Elevated Places. It is an honor, it is a privilege, it is a joy to be with you this evening. And of course, as our wonderful announcer, Brother Bobby Muhammad, has said to us, we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And this is a forum where we hold discussion centered around freedom, justice, and equality for the 40 to 60 million descendants of slaves in North America. And that freedom, justice, and equality ultimately cannot be had until there is a separation between us and our slave master. And so now, as we prepare for the great exodus that was prophesied in Scripture, we are changing the conversation from the filth and degenerate exchanges that take place that our enemy puts on the airwaves, and we are replacing it with a thought that is pleasing to God rather than offensive to God. We are so happy that Elevated Places is streaming live in Waterloo, Iowa on WKBOL 100.1 FM, joining a list of distinguished shows that air weekly. The Time series is what the Minister Louis Farrakhan's series, The Time and What Must Be Done, is called there, and it airs Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Time. Also, on Fridays on KBOL, you can hear Torchlight hosted by Brother Michael Muhammad. Now, of course, we just listened to an excerpt from The Time and What Must Be Done, Part 22, of a 52-part lecture series. As our contributor and analyst, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, has said so many times when this series began, that he did not believe the enemy would allow this to air for 52 weeks straight without some sort of interference. And it looks as though signals of that are already coming to pass. And as you just heard in that excerpt of Minister Farrakhan addressing the characterization of himself by Abraham Foxman as the only African-American, as they term it, but the only black leader left, as the minister said, all that is standing now on behalf of our people is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. And that is why I feel so happy to be a part of that work and to be a student following Minister Farrakhan. Now, tonight, we have a special program. We are so pleased to have with us, and we will be bringing him in shortly to the conversation, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, one of the great, great scholars, not just in North America, but on the planet today. And one of the reasons he is one of the top scholars on the earth is not just his intellectual prowess, but the fact that he knows and understands the truth, and he's walking with Minister Louis Farrakhan. For now, though, I am always overjoyed to be with our beloved brother, who is literally on the road, on his way to join the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan tomorrow in the great state of Alabama, which may be one of our wonderful homes in our new territory. And Brother Terrence, I want to say to you, first of all, thank you for joining us and staying with Elevated Places, even as you're moving down the road. I know you don't have a lot of time, and so I want to hear from you and get your perspective on what you're about to do and what has happened in the last few days. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaykum salam, Sister Ava. No, and thank you for having the show Elevated Places where we can elevate the masses of our people. And you are so right. I am now driving with the FOI, right, all in the car. We're excited.
Beautiful.
We're traveling down to Alabama to be with the chief, with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And let me just say this. I'm going to act like Don King. Don King is the promoter of a fight. Now, I know that man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, on the Rock Newman Show, say he called for a showdown, and he called them out, the ADL, the 12 heads of the Jewish organizations, and the Southern Poverty Law Center. Well, to the Southern Poverty Law Center, we are coming to your town. Matter of fact, we're coming to your front door in Montgomery, Alabama at 4 p.m., so don't get scared. Don't get shaking in the booth. The media's on the stand. So we are excited as we travel down. We will be making stops at a park near the 16th Street.
Well, it sounds like, as Dr. Salam would say, Flight Lieutenant Terrence Muhammad may have flown into an area where we're out of reach for the moment. And I know that down south in Alabama, it's very hilly like Georgia is with the winding roads. And so we'll just hope that we can get Brother Terrence back. And in the meantime, before I bring on our special guest, I am also joined by the Minister of Agriculture of the Nation of Islam, who is also the host of his own radio show right here on blogtalkradio.com on Saturday evenings, following the time and what must be done. And that is Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaikum salam.
And
I'm on my way. I'm right behind Brother Terrence.
You're behind Brother Terrence. My goodness.
I haven't left the farm yet, but I'm aiming towards him to meet him in the morning in Alabama and to watch the activity.
Yes, sir. And it sounds like Brother
Terrence,
you're back.
The activity is going to be great.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be great.
It's going
to
be
and
awesome.
Just to know that not only am I a student of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I will be representing also the hip-hop caucus out of D.C. So I'm calling all my hip-hoppers and all those that are MCs, DJs, radio personalities to tune in, even if you got to make a lyric about what's going on, because we're dealing with a serious issue of the Voting Rights Act Section 5 that we're trying to defend. We know we're 150 years from the Emancipation Proclamation, 50 years from the March on Washington, 50 years from the death of Medgar Evers, 50 years from George Wallace trying to stop the two students from going to the University of Alabama, and 40 years of hip-hop, and now we're on Elevated Places and said we're enough of the 150 years. We're time for separation. So, Alabama, you look like a nice place to reside for the 30 to 40 million black people here in America. Just one of the states that shall be ours soon. So y'all need to tune in for the showdown tomorrow in Montgomery, Alabama.
And, you know,
all
you
got to do is add one more L to Alabama, we can make it right.
Yes, sir. And I think to Abraham Foxman's point, Louis Farrakhan, quote, Louis Farrakhan is the only African-American leader. Very interesting. I happen to agree with him on that point. And it bears witness that our civil rights icons called Minister Farrakhan and asked him to come down tomorrow to assist in the battle against the overturning of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. And for those listeners that are not necessarily familiar with that, and of course, in tune with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's predictions to us, we know that all of the gains of the civil rights movement are now being shredded by white America. The Section 5 requires any state with a history of voter suppression to submit a plan to the Department of Justice before making any changes in the geographic boundaries or requirements for qualifications to vote. The United States Supreme Court is taking the position, it looks like, that that is no longer necessary. Now, this is in the wake of the 2012 presidential election, where not only southern states but northern states like Pennsylvania, in a bogus gangster fashion, attempted to suppress the black vote in our face. And yet, we are being told this is unnecessary. But it is Minister Farrakhan, the leader of the Nation of Islam, the national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who got the call and responded in the affirmative and said, I will be there. And so this is a wonderful, wonderful thing that is happening on so many levels.
And
go ahead.
And Dr. David, one more point. I just want to give a big shout-out to our sister, Fire Rose Touré. You know, used to be Rose Sanders, but now Fire Rose Touré, who is one of the organizers. She's from Selma and one of the organizers along with this coalition of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, but she's on ground. She's fighting. She wants to get the word out, but she's not bucking. She's not bowing down to the pressures of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. She's moving. She's a strong sister. She's a strong warrior, as we know that our sisters have always been on the battlefront and on the fight for us, and I just want to give her big props for what she's doing as she's helping to push this caravan as we go from Birmingham to Shelby to Selma and ending up in Montgomery, Alabama.
Absolutely. Beautiful point. And at this point in time, I want to share with the listeners two things. Number one, this is a special edition of Elevated Places. It's a two-hour edition. Shortly, we are going to be joined by one of the great, great scholars of our time, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, will be joining us as we talk about, among other things, the Illuminati, the group, the secret society known as the Illuminati. And before I move to Dr. Wesley, though, I do want to bring to our attention that the trial of George Zimmerman, who shot and killed an unarmed, innocent child, Trayvon Martin, a little over a year ago. In fact, it happened on Savior's Day, February 26, 2012, that George Zimmerman aggressed and then ultimately shot and killed 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. That trial started this week, the jury selection, and in the coming weeks we'll be discussing that case because in it already you are seeing the reality that Minister Farrakhan said, which is as long as we live with white people, we will live under them. And already you are seeing certain Negroes turn over and change their viewpoint or express a viewpoint that actually goes against all logic. One of the blatant things that has taken place already, many of us heard the 911 audio where there were cries of help. And those cries of help were followed by a gunshot. Trayvon's mother and father both identified that voice as their son. I did not know Trayvon, but in as objective as I can possibly make myself be, as a former prosecutor myself, but when I heard that voice, the first thing that struck me was the youth in the voice. This was not a grown man. This was an adolescent's voice. Nevertheless, the FBI claims they don't have enough tape to ascertain or determine whose voice that is. And I don't believe that any more than I believe that the sun is going to go out tomorrow. I don't believe it. They know that if that voice were positively identified as Trayvon's, it would be the end of the case because it would show beyond a reasonable doubt that George Zimmerman is the aggressor. The argument has now turned to center on what occurred between the two of them just before the shooting. No longer is the media following the narrative from the point that it should follow, which is the aggression took place when the dispatcher, 911 dispatcher in the first call, told George Zimmerman, he asked him, "Are you following him?" And he said, "Yes." And the dispatcher said, "We don't need you to do that." And he persisted. At the same time, Trayvon was telling a young lady on the phone that he was frightened and he was nervous because somebody was following him. So whatever happened, at the moment of the confrontation, the aggression occurred when George Zimmerman got out of that car. And so I just wanted to put that out there for the Elevated Places family and let you know that we are going to see and our people are going to see that the essential relationship between black and white, which is a slave-master-slave relationship, has never and will never change. The only solution to the problem between the two people is for us to go our separate ways.
That's right.
And, yes, absolutely. And so now, without further ado, I am so honored to be joined, and both Brother Terrence and Dr. Ridgely know this brother very well, because he is also, like us, a follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And Dr. Wesley, and of course the calls are just flying in, and that attests to his popularity as well as the show's. But Dr. Wesley Muhammad is a historian of religion who earned his bachelor's degree in religious studies from Morehouse College and a master's degree and doctorate in Islamic studies from the University of Islam. And he has come at the request of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to Chicago, Illinois, to assist the minister and the nation. And we couldn't be happier to have Dr. Wesley with us. He's also a part of the Nation of Islam Research Department. And so his value can never be overestimated. Dr. Wesley, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Elevated Places. Again, I should say welcome back.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava. Thank you so much for your words. It's always a tremendous honor and a tremendously humbling honor to be on your show. Brother Terrence, Dr. Ridgely, assalamu alaikum. It's wonderful to be on with all of you and to dialogue. And Dr. Ava, you know, I just have to say this. Every time I witness you in whatever capacity, I'm reminded of a remark I made to the Honorable Brother Mr. Louis Farrakhan at the dinner table, of the truism that the quality of a leader is to a great extent, you can really see it in the quality of the type of people that he surrounds himself with. And you are such an exceptional person that your exceptionalism gives everyone a hint of how exceptional your leader, the one whom you follow, must be.
Praise
the Honorable Brother Minister Farrakhan. So thank you, Dr. A, all of your work.
Thank you,
sir. I think that, Dave, I think you said University of Islam, but it's University of Michigan where he got his PhD from.
Yeah, caught that.
Yeah, I caught that.
Missiles, you know, firebombs at the enemy.
Yes,
I think that day is very close. And I do want to say, both Dr. Ridgely and Dr. Wesley write brilliant articles for the Final Call. They're both authors of books as well. And Dr. Wesley has an article in the current June 18th issue of the Final Call newspaper, which addresses Trayvon Martin on the cover, and you should read Dr. Wesley's perspective. It's called Walking with Farrakhan. And, you know, he talks about how disbelievers from the intellectual circles, et cetera, come to him, and they want to know, why does he follow Farrakhan when he, like you, Dr. Ridge, like you, Brother Terrence, have the ability.
Like you, Dr. Abel.
you know, well, okay, that's true. We could all be out here among those that are out there. and make our way in terms of Western Caucasian controlled society defined success. But we have chosen to follow Minister Farrakhan, and you really have to read Dr. Wesley's article because it's very powerful. And one of the things he says is, and if I could just read this, he says, I am with Farrakhan because he has taught me what this world is totally incapable of teaching me, that true godhood is anchored in exceptional human character and integrity. God is God rather than merely a God, because God's character is holy and his integrity is absolutely unfailing. I love Farrakhan because in him we are able to see what exceptional human character and integrity look like. His living example is the path, the instruction manual on how to live this life of ours. And successfully living this life makes one a god. Farrakhan is proof that this life can be lived, and he is proof of the rewards for so doing. And I think that is such
beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful and insightful?
Beautiful.
Because oftentimes we ourselves, we're so busy following him literally in the physical sense, you know,
yes,
that we don't stop to become introspective as to why am I with him?
Right.
You know,
yes,
he's
ma'am.
Born to do what
yes,
he's doing. And
yes,
like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it's immaterial to him on an individual basis, whether we follow him or not. He's going to do what he was born to do.
Right.
But if he is all these things that we say he is, and we love to fawn over him, and, you know, go in scriptures and all that, and he's so beautiful. He's physically beautiful. He's gracious. He's as Dr. Ridges said, he's the next human being. He's like
right.
You're saying in this article, Dr. Wesley, just the ultimate in character and integrity. But yet with all of that, it's all about what Dr. Wesley said earlier. You know, who are we? And have we accepted our own and become ourselves? Because if the scientists saw the minister 25,000 years ago and all of this, then would God surround him with a bunch of ne'er-do-wells who have no purpose? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't go from the sun, which lights up the entire universe, to a matchstick. You know, everything is sequential. And
that's
so he has to have a certain type of person and persons with him. And I'm going to stop after this because I don't want to block the light here. But, you know, Jesus never performed what the Christians call miracles until he did a brief assessment of who was in the crowd. You know, and he always made sure at least one person of faith was present. See, because he knew that in order for him to do what he was about to do, somebody had to believe he could do it.
Right.
You know, because nothing is spooky. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we have to start taking a serious look at ourselves and come out of whatever identity crisis we might be in. And you know I'm talking to myself. We, you know, like you all are saying, he's an example of how to live this life.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I want to be like him. So,
but I put it like this. Not only do we not know who we are as a people, we do not know who we are as individuals. Therefore,
right.
It would be best for us to hook on to somebody who is what we aspire to and just
right.
move out. Don't worry about who you are. You find out who you are in the process, and then don't get in your own self's way. You know,
right.
don't shortchange yourself, doubt yourself. I'm talking to myself. You know, you just have to get out yourself's way and help the man the best way you can and then see how the marbles fall and let somebody write about you 100 years from now, but just do the work and have fun watching this man take on the world.
Right.
Mm.
But I also think it's important what Dr. Ava suggested is that we all take step back and ask ourselves, why are we with Farrakhan?
That's right.
Now, from my perspective, it is not for us to follow Farrakhan just for the sake of following Farrakhan. There are a million legitimate reasons why each one of us can and should follow Farrakhan.
Mm.
In order to achieve whatever of those 1 million legitimate reasons we have to follow Farrakhan, if we are going to achieve the purpose, we have to be self-aware of that reason. Whatever the reason is, we need to know why we are in the Nation of Islam. What is our aim and purpose for being in the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? Why do we follow Farrakhan? If we are not clear in our own minds regarding those questions, I think that's how we get in our own way of achieving the rewards for walking with Farrakhan, the rewards for embracing this life of ours called Islam. So I think it's important that we all do the proper assessment and ask, because I think if we aren't clear on why we follow Farrakhan, then we won't follow him properly. And we won't render the loyalty to him that we should.
Exactly.
And we should be loyal to Farrakhan for a million reasons. When we follow him, we should follow him with loyalty, not fair weather loyalty, but ride or die loyalty. But we cannot help the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan well if we aren't clear why we're here. We would get in our way, and we'll end up getting in his way as well, in my opinion.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Well, we're going to go to the phones briefly, and then we're going to get into the Illuminati or the super powerful, super wealthy of this outgoing world who really are positioning themselves to form a firewall against the minister's work. Let's talk with Brother Malakhan. He is on the line with a question, and let me get his mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Malakhan.
Oh, wa alaikum salam. How was everyone?
We're wonderful.
I have a two-part question. And the first part is in regards to separation. The minister on several occasions has mentioned that he wants to lead 10,000 to Mecca. And my question was concerning us coming into power in America as opposed to a certain group leaving. Kind of wanted to get your thoughts on how that plays out. And second of all, this question is directly for Dr. Ava Muhammad. As far as the importance of the Jesus revealing himself to a woman first after the crucifixion or the resurrection. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful questions. Yes. So, panel, did you want to start on the question about the 10,000 that the minister has indeed numerous times spoke of wanting to go to Mecca and your thoughts on how that will manifest itself.
Well, you know, I think the brother may have, we're not going there to stay. My understanding, we're going there for Hajj to make a statement, but the minister has made it very clear in the last day of atonement that this is our promised land that Allah is going to give us right here in America.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Dr. Wesley?
I'm reminded of two things. One, that, of course, that 10,000 figure to remind us of when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, took 10,000 followers and reconquered Mecca from Medina, from the disbelievers. So for the Honorable Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan to take 10,000 from here in the West, where the sun in this day is to shine, take 10,000 to Mecca, I'm tempted to see that as our reconquering of Mecca now, but in a symbolic sense. Brother Dr. Ridgely is absolutely correct. Everything I understand is that we are going to inherit this land here in America, but I see the symbolic reconquering of Mecca in context of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, that whites have been ruling Mecca for a long time for this.
Yes.
But they will be sat down in Mecca. So Mecca is to be reconquered. Now, when the physical conquering comes about, in the process by which that comes about, I don't know. But I'm tempted to see the 10,000 of us from the West making Hajj behind with the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan to Mecca. I'm tempted to see that as a symbolic conquering that somehow is related to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stating that blacks will rule Mecca once again after Mecca had been ruled by whites for so long.
Yes, sir. Allahu Akbar. And on the issue of Jesus revealing himself to a woman first, study guide 19, written by Minister Farrakhan, The Knowledge of God, in that he teaches us that the secret of God's self-creation is in the female. And in my reflecting on that over many years, my thought is that, as we've been taught, women, or the woman, did not come from a rib of a man. Woman, the original woman, who is the black woman, came from the mind of God. She is the second self of the creator, the first God, the one who created himself in and from the triple darkness of space. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad describes this event as Allah going and studying himself. And from himself, he brought forth a second self called female or woman. God is a man, he taught us, not a spook or a spirit. He is a man.
That's right.
And the first being in the universe is a black man. And the second creation is from his mind.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I always look at that as the statement you always hear, water seeks its level. In seeking another self, and we know that the number one thing that Allah requires is complete submission to his will. And that creature that came forward, it is in her makeup, her genetic makeup, to submit to God. And so in a female, as Mother Tineta Muhammad has said, the man seeks to compete with God because God is a man.
Come on.
And so the male genetic makeup, as Minister Farrakhan has said, he said there's something in the male that is telling him he's in charge.
Yes.
Even if he's unemployed and uneducated. Something in him says you are the authority. It's in his genetic makeup to be in total and complete control. And so in order to witness the resurrection, it required a complete, open state of mind that was not a mind that was critiquing God, but a mind that was in submission to God. The male disciples, with the exception of John, were sitting somewhere critiquing and analyzing.
Right.
Right.
And feeling depressed and sad, and, you know, what's going to happen to me now?
Ooh,
see?
Right. They kind of doubted. Didn't they kind of doubt?
And they doubted when Mary of Magdala, Mary Magdalene, came and told them, they were quite doubtful to the point that the disciple Thomas, even when Jesus made his appearance, Thomas still didn't believe it was him until he put his hand in the wound on Jesus' side. So to me, that's the importance of Jesus revealing himself to woman. We're being taught that in order for us to be able to experience the transfiguration that is about to come, our level of submission has to be complete. It can't be partial, whether we're male or female. Because every man and every woman have male and female aspects.
That's right.
In their spirit. And that is why the messenger of God is always styled after a woman.
Right.
You know, the messenger of Allah always is described in his relationship with Allah as the relationship of a woman to a man.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But thank you, Brother Malakan. Thank you so much.
Assalamu
alaikum. Okay, we've got Brother Warren, and I'm doing a few calls because we got callers in the triple digits. Okay.
Oh, no, I love that. As many as we can get.
Yes, as many as we can get to, because that's not everybody listening, you know. But we've got Brother Warren, and he has a question. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Warren.
Alaikum salam. Greetings, Brother Warren, a host of New Orleans Wake Up. And I learned about your show, Sister Ava, from a regular listener here in New Orleans, Brother Eric. I hope he's listening. But my question is, I have learned today that the minister will be in Birmingham for the caravan to Selma commemorating the Voting Rights Act and the Birmingham 50th anniversary of the civil rights events. And I had also read some responses by leaders of the Jewish community there. Could you update us on that trip to Birmingham and aspects related to it? And I'll listen to Sister Muhammad.
Thank you so much. Brother Terrence, are you still with us?
Yes,
I
am.
His mic is open. Because you're on your way to it. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I am definitely going there. One of the things that I think that we need to recognize, and I'll start with just in North Carolina. In 2012, there was, in North Carolina particularly, there was the young people and minority outvoted anybody else, meaning that they came to the, they showed up to the polls and turned it out. So now the legislators that came into the North Carolina Assembly are trying to stop early voting, what people of color usually do early voting, and so to the polls. So as you stated, Dr. Ava, earlier, all of the achievements of the civil rights are now just are trying to be turned over. Even in the concept of, as the minister doing his Black College tour, they're trying to start the question, or the question has been up for years, are Black colleges relevant today? So as they're looking at this Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, they're trying to determine if this is relevant today. So not only is Sanders Rose or Fadia Rose Torre and our brother James Steele of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, who also have the mayor of Tuskegee that's a part of this coalition that's coming. But as always, whenever Minister Farrakhan is involved in any movement, those that are similarly in bed with the leadership, they'll come out and say, we'll pull out the money, or you need to disassociate yourself with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Minister Farrakhan is coming in support, not that he invited himself, but he was invited to bring attention to a serious issue, whereas we're saying we are coming up on the 50th year of the March on Washington and a lot of other things that have happened. So this caravan is not just going to Montgomery, but it is going to Shelby, where the case started, and we are going to Birmingham, where we know about the 16th Street bombing. So Alabama itself has a very significant role in the whole civil rights. Yeah. And all of this is going on tomorrow. And rest assured, you will be able to read more of this on the Final Call, in the Final Call newspaper. So make sure that you go to finalcall.com to get the latest stories, because the Final Call newspaper will be covering. And hopefully there has been talk of other national news media being there. So if you're on your TV or CNN or C-SPAN at 4 p.m. tomorrow, Central Standard Time, that you may be able to see some of the coverage as Minister Farrakhan will be the keynote speaker in Montgomery. And yes, there have been people coming out and attacking this caravan because of the minister's presence. And one thing I will go back and add, as we discussed in the earlier conversation, on the time and what must be done, Minister Farrakhan called out a list of people that have been considered anti-Semitic over the years, and it's not only been the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I would say for us all to watch those that back away from the minister, or watch those that, as they were talking about the case of Trayvon Martin, watch those that are changing their story and support, as they did in the beginning of Trayvon Martin, now are backing away. We need to take note of this in our own history, and we'll know who we need to support, because Minister Farrakhan is not coming to talk hate. He is coming in support of those that have bled, died, and sweat for our rights and our right to vote. As we know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has cast his vote in the past. So he's standing, as he always is standing, with those in our community.
Thank you so much, yes, Brother Terrence, and thank you, Brother Warren. And I want to say to the callers that are waiting, when you are recognized, you may comment on any aspect of the show, no matter where we are in the conversation. So whatever question or comment you had, don't feel that you're tied to whatever we're saying in that moment, because I do just want to make sure we don't lose sight of the fact, and it's so relevant to what Brother Terrence just said about media coverage and the falling away of supporters of the minister. The list of people labeled as anti-Semitic range from everybody from President Harry Truman and President Jimmy Carter to Michael Jackson have been labeled this way. And so it's part of the technology of labeling an individual an anti-Semite is very dangerous, and it's in line with the topic tonight of the Illuminati. And I just want to say this, that Minister Farrakhan has explained to us that there is a secret society that was established in the late 18th century in Europe. And today, that society consists of the richest, most powerful people on earth. This is who the minister is taking on. We need to understand that. Abraham Foxman of the ADL, as Dr. Ridgie says, these are the sheep dogs. They're not they're not the top of the food chain. They get a check. They have a job. Okay? So they're like the barking dog that comes out.
Right.
These are international bankers, and they are the ones that control the mainstream media. The press is not the press that existed when the First Amendment was passed, freedom of the press, in the 1700s, where we were just coming, not we, but they were just coming out of a monarchy, and there was suppression of the press because the media at that time was the source of the revolution. But now, today, I don't care if you're talking about ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox, all of them are corporate controlled. They control the workforce. They control the educational system. They control the banks, the energy supplies, governments. They decide when, where, how, and with who there is a war. And the list just goes on and on. And so we want to fold in knowledge of that fact in our discussions, because we need to appreciate, as you all have said at the earlier part of the program, who we are following and what he's doing.
Right.
That's right.
You know, and why there's such preoccupation with one individual.
Right.
So I just wanted to bring that out, and we're going to be looking for Dr. Wesley and Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence, your insight on that. We have Sister Judith on the line, and she has a comment.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum.
Sister Dr. Ava, it's such an honor to be on your show to ask, to make a comment. And I just want to say what you were saying about Jesus and that question that the brother asked, you know, that has been on my mind so heavy for the past few days.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that, like you have said so many times, that the woman is the second self of God, as Minister Farrakhan has taught us. But you say that the first time he had a conversation with the woman. And the woman, observing God, has always looked for God. And when she looks for a man, she looks for God in that man. And she can recognize God in man. So when Jesus revealed himself to the woman after the resurrection, it was because she could recognize God.
Right.
As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Excellent. Any comments on that? That's a beautiful point.
Excellent.
I bear witness.
Yeah. I bear witness.
We say, all we can do is bow down, right?
That's all we can do.
Well, you know, unfortunately, those of us who are men, we do disappoint sometimes, so we just got to keep working at it.
Well, you know, it's not...
And Dr. Ava, I want to jump in there because I'm getting ready to have to sign off. But one of the things that I think not only yourself or your representation of a woman of God, but I also think Dr. Ridgely and the scholarship of Dr. Wesley. Because one of the things that they have done and helped me over my years, I came into the nation as a very Afrocentric brother and involved in a club called the History Club, and we was very Afrocentric, and I came out of church. And, you know, these brothers have helped connect
Christianity, connect the Afrocentric movement with the Nation of Islam in the right perspective, because we were the first Christians, and everything that we see in the Bible, as the messenger talked about, is about us. And we can see that on the walls of the pyramids and the Kemetic signs. And I bring that up is because if you study our history, not his story, but our history, and you go to the walls and you go to the pyramids, you can see where men have their hands near the wound of the woman, and there are these things called Ankh that are coming out, and Ankh mean key to life, that the men at that time, before those that are roaming the earth now, they understood where life came from, and there was reverence to the womb. There was not disrespect to the womb, but there was reverence, and they honored the womb because they knew from the womb all life sprung from. So there was always this high level of respect for the woman. And we understand that Asar, or Set, she was the one that had the first immaculate conception. So that woman was always written of and always talked about and always seen as very high and revered. But it's when we come into his story and his history and his recollection of the woman that we see a skewed and misrepresentation of her. So is that scholarship of Brother West, is that scholarship that I've learned from Dr. Ridgely that gives us a better perspective? And then when we hear the words taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on the immeasurable value of the woman, then we can understand that connection, because he's going back to the original teaching of God himself and how God sees the woman. So that's why when others see the scholarship of Dr. West, so why are you listening to Farrakhan? Because Farrakhan takes us all the way back to the original teachings that we have come from.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
That's right. And you remember, Minister Farrakhan, he also explained to us why over the last 6,000 years the woman had to be kept under wraps, because we knew there was an enemy out there. And so we don't see the woman push forward the way she was before the 6,000 years because of trying to protect her, and now the enemy has found the keys to DNA and the secret, and now trying to go through the womb to try to get past the hereafter, into the hereafter. So, you know, it's the woman was protected to keep away from what this new man on the planet is up to.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Voila.
And you know, one of the goals of the Illuminati, or this small circle of wealthy, whose wealth is really rooted in the slave trade and enslavement of our people for about a half a millennium. One of their goals, Dr. Wesley, is to weaken the moral fiber of the nation.
Absolutely.
You know, and I wanted to get your insight for the listeners before we go back to the phone on how you see that. How weakening the moral fiber of a nation helps to keep that ruling class in control.
Yes, ma'am. But I think we must address or properly identify of whom we're speaking. You know, the Illuminati, that term is thrown around so recklessly.
True.
In popular
yes.
culture. I think probably the first thing we need to do, and we're probably disappointing a lot of people who saw that we were talking about the Illuminati and came to the show, because they thought we were talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce. We're not.
Come on.
Not the Illuminati. This isn't a show about Jay-Z and Beyonce. Jay-Z and Beyonce and the hip-hop and entertainment world are pawns of the Illuminati.
Uh-oh.
Right.
They pawn the aim, the specific aim that Dr. Ava mentions, the eroding of the moral fiber of society. And there was no more expeditious an effective way to do that than through the entertainment industry. So the movers and shakers of the entertainment industry, they do have the attention of the Illuminati. They are pawns, either wittingly or unwittingly, of the Illuminati. But Jay-Z, I don't care that he sold Rockaware for $200 million. That's chump change. He's not inviting. He's not invited to those meetings. I'm sorry. Jigga is not invited to those meetings.
That's right.
Now,
listen,
why?
Right.
What's the aim of why would this group involve themselves with eroding the moral fiber of society? We can properly wrap our mind around that when we understand that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, through this very timely and urgent series of Time and What Must Be Done, is exposing the son of perdition. We must understand that the Illuminati, the real Illuminati, is the son of perdition's crew. That's his crew. The son of perdition is just that. He's the son of perdition. He is, his overall aim is to, when he goes, lead the world the exact antithesis to the world in which he knows God, the world which he knows God envisions. So the son of perdition and his crew, the Illuminati, their aim is to, on every part of this world that they can, turn it upside down in direct contradiction to the world of God.
That's right.
This is the aim, and this is the reason of their aims and their method. This is the son of perdition being exposed, and if I say this in closing on this point, see, all of these people talk about the Illuminati. Farrakhan is fighting the Illuminati y'all talk
about.
Be real clear. You all talking about the Illuminati. Farrakhan is fighting the real Illuminati, not that boogeyman Illuminati that we get from YouTube.
Right.
The real Illuminati. The real controllers of the earth. The type of, he's naming names, and I name one name, just as an example of what the real Illuminati were talking about. And so we know that Jay-Z and Beyonce, that they're not in that clique. You know, David Sassoon, we know about the opium wars, how the opium drug was imposed on China, on the people of China.
That's right.
They were forced against their will to get hooked on this drug. It's often, the blame is often put on the British crown. But that opium was the personal property of David Sassoon, Sephardic Jews from Bombay, India. They're from Iraq, but they migrated to India, and it was that Indian opium, his own personal opium, that he and his family, the Sassoons, are called the Rothschilds of the East. They were the most wealthy family in the East. It was their opium that was imposed on China. And these people were so powerful, they can get the military might of a kingdom to aid them in drugging a nation. That's how the Illuminati roll. We're talking about, and so when y'all out there talk about the Illuminati, be specific. We're talking about the synagogue of Satan. See, Illuminati just means illuminated ones, really. And we can, yes, Adam Weishaupt, who he named his group that he set up in Bavaria, Germany in 1776, he named his group the Illuminati. But his Illuminati bore witness to a higher order that was of their concern. that higher order of illuminated ones, I call it the Black Illuminati, that what they call the secret chiefs or the hidden directorate, those are gods. So that's the Black Illuminati, the Black Illuminated ones. We need to, one, pay more attention to the Black Illuminated ones. And I say that because there's argument, was the Nation of Islam founded by the Illuminati? Well, that depends on how you define Illuminati. The one who founded the Nation of Islam, he was connected with that supreme body of illuminated ones, that true hidden directed, that directorate that directs the whole cosmos, that black body of illuminated ones. But that more lowly, earthly Illuminati that Adam Weishaupt established in 1776 in Bavaria, no, he had nothing to do with that. But it's a synagogue of Satan. See, the term Illuminati, as it's used, is too ambiguous. So the Honorable Miss Lewis Farrakhan is specifying with whom we're speaking, of whom we're speaking. It's a synagogue of Satan. It is named and names, and that's who the showdown is with. Y'all talk about the Illuminati. We actually embroiled in a showdown with them.
Powerful. Thank you.
That's
so
right.
Much. Yes, sir. Now we've got Brother Michael, and he's got both a comment and a question. That was awesome, Dr. Wesley.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank
you. Walaikum salam.
Yes, Brother Dr. Wesley just answered the question that I had about that statement, because that's so important that he laid that base. For a lot of young people, you know, our brothers and sisters in the community, a lot of these YouTube videos and DVDs are circulating, and it's almost like the enemy is allowing that to be put forth so that they can, distraction, and so they can remain hidden from the people actually putting their focus and attention on the ones who the minister is exposing. So that was just so powerful. The other comment that I had, I was looking for the section in Closing the Gap, and I couldn't find it, when the brother spoke about Jesus and revealing himself to the woman. The minister actually addresses that sister Dr. Ava was talking about, the men and what we were doing, what the men were doing during that time of his crucifixion. He addresses why there were only six women and one man at Jesus' crucifixion and Closing the Gap. And I've been looking at that over the years, over just off and on, just listening to the minister when he's talking about him leaving and, you know, being the last one crucified in the media and whatnot. But it was just the question that I had. I wanted to read, I can't find it, but I wanted to read what the minister was saying. And I think I can kind of vaguely recall that he said the six women represented thousands of women who love and believe in Minister Farrakhan that are inside the nation and outside the Nation of Islam. He said the one man John represented thousands who are growing into belief into the Jesus, but are not in his immediate fold or his following like we are in the nation. And he said that the John figure was even at a distance during the time of Jesus' crucifixion. He said that the ones on the inside were corrupted by hypocrisy and they began to doubt in Jesus or his followers or his disciples. And that always troubled me because, you know, we're going through a period of time where, you know, we can kind of see certain things unfolding. And my question on that, I was just going to make a comment, but the question is, how can we beat this prophecy, fulfill the good side of prophecy of this one and beat it? And can we beat it, knowing that the disciples, the male disciples, actually ran in the time of Jesus' crucifixion? This is the question that I have to the panel. Can we beat that prophecy? Do we see ourselves beating it? And also, how does Dianetics play? Dianetics being the tool that the minister introduce us to the work on the mind. How does that play in our fulfilling the better side of prophecy in the Bible?
Panel? Beautiful, beautiful point.
If I may, in terms of dealing with prophecy, I think if I may paraphrase that wonderful question you're asking us, are we any better than our fathers? Why do I say that? I remember the last time I spoke to Brother Dr. Khaled in Atlanta. It was before he really went there. He was struggling. He was starting to turn away from the minister, but he was struggling. And he was telling me sharing his suspicions of the minister with regard to him. And I brought to Brother Khaled's attention that he had did a lecture at the Slade Theater in Brooklyn, entitled Malcolm, the Man, the Myth, the Murder, in which he so eloquently described the relationship of Malcolm and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Sensei, and how Brother Khaled was explaining that a Sensei will either actively or passively allow his student to go to, you know, the threshold of death to test them. That this doesn't mean that he doesn't love them. It means that he does love them. And I raised the point to Brother Khaled. I said, well, could this be what the minister was doing? And he just looked and shrugged his shoulders. The reason I bring this up is because we, in this nation of Islam, with the benefit of hindsight, it's so unacceptable for us to make the mistake that our fathers made the first go-round. See, around the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we got corrupted and the nation fell. See, that prophecy played out around the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we know what happened. We have the history. So if we, who are around Farrakhan, we beat the prophecy, one, by not just looking at the prophecy itself, but looking at the last time we fell victim to the prophecy. Analyze how we fell victim to the prophecy the first go-round. In my opinion, that should be what we need to not let it happen again. From my perspective, every time I think of Brother Khaled, I think of that. And I think, well, you knew enough to know how not to let that happen. So my opinion is we must be aware and we must study how we fell victim to the prophecy the last time so as not to fall victim to it again. And we have that benefit of hindsight.
Dr. Ridgely?
Yes, I would like to add that's why it's so important to pray to Allah to not allow yourself to be stupid. In other words, you know, like Brother Wesley in this article, I haven't read it yet, but from what you were talking about, you know, once you know who he is and what time it is, then where else do you have to go? You know, where else do you have to go? Yes, we do catch hell in the nation, and it's usually from people, not the minister, but from people around him. And we just have to learn how to deal with that now disappointment. Mr. Farrakhan made a statement to me, and, you know, how do you produce a god? He said, throw him into a pit of snakes. If he comes out, well, then he's a god. And said, if he doesn't, well, he tried. So haven't had a chance to make, to be independent for 400-something years now. Now is when the gods are going to be proven. You know, you can't use lineage to trace yourself back to a royal family. So how do you prove yourself? You prove yourself through standing through the fire and coming out correct. So, yes, we have these lessons, but it's time for us to make a decision, each of us to pray to God to help us make a proper decision and to stay in line.
Yes, sir.
Wow, beautiful. And I guess I would add to those in the, that insight from the both brothers with respect to the question about the role of Dianetics, that it's as though we were given, and you see this in some of the fictional narratives that Caucasian people put on screen and in books, that they really stole from our reality. And there's the stories of the hero who has to confront the monster or the enemy or this strong thing that's a threat to the community. And the community is incapable of responding to this thing. And so it's always one man that moves out first. And he usually is given some sort of tool, whether it's a sword or a special suit of armor or something, that at the proper time he will bring that out to defeat the enemy. But prior to that, he has to go through all these various trials. And I think that what we have that those before us did not have is what the minister gave us in a course of study that he named self-improvement.
That's right.
Self-improvement. The basis for
That's
community
right.
development.
That's it.
You
yep,
know,
that's
what's
it.
The basis for a new nation, which comes out of communities? It is each individual who makes up that community must be engaged in and committed to the improvement of self.
That's right.
And it goes back to your point, Dr. Rizzi, about how we suffer with one another and at the hands of one another. And the question becomes, you know, how do we get past that? Because that has been a problem even when Master Farad Muhammad was present. That was
right.
a problem.
Right. Right.
When he
Good
made
point.
Selections, you know, there was
right.
murmuring against
right.
the choices and appointments and selections that Master Farad Muhammad made. And some that he made, those individuals turned out to go another direction.
Right.
But Minister Farrakhan said one time in a khutbah at Juma prayer, he said, nothing escapes Allah's service. Nothing. So there's no body who is a complete and useless waste. Even
That's
if they
right.
don't do anything positive, they become an object lesson for everybody else. You know, if
yeah,
nothing,
right.
worst case scenario, you become
right.
what not to do. Okay.
That's right.
But
That's
when
right.
the minister gave us self-improvement, he was actually sharing with us what he was living. He was living it and then giving it, living it and giving it, okay? Mixed feelings and controversy surrounding you. When you, as a Christian, so-called Negro in America, choose to go into the Nation of Islam, and family and friends are horrified by this.
Yes.
You know, mixed feelings. And then some are, well, you know, maybe it might help you, you know.
Yeah. Right.
But mixed feelings and controversy always surround a man or woman who chooses to submit to God's will in the midst of rebellion against his will.
Right.
And he gave us, thus far, 21 study guides. And then he recognized that we were not engaging like he engaged.
Come on.
And because we're not living the life he's living in the sense of making a complete break from the slave master to follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that's what he did. We have not done that. There's a part of us that's still attached to the white man's reality.
Right.
And so as long as that's the case, we won't be able to be our complete selves. So
right.
He realized the difficulty we were having in engaging in self-examination, self-analysis, and self-correction, because we really don't want to examine ourselves. We definitely
right.
don't want to analyze ourselves, and we refuse to correct because we don't see anything wrong with us, you know.
Right, right.
And so
right.
he located for us, with the help of persons and circumstances, he's on a search, what can I do to save them? And he comes upon, through helpers, this methodology called Dianetics. And what Dianetics does is provide it's like a how-to, concrete. It's not spiritually based, it's intellectually based.
Yes,
and it's for us to make use of the study guides, because we lack the spiritual level of advancement to benefit from the study guides. So he gave us a step-by-step program where one is able to walk back through the experiences of one's life all the way back to the womb, so that we may begin to eliminate intellectual and emotional baggage, psychological baggage that we are carrying, that is like a gravitational pull that won't let us engage in self. Because the solution to being suppressed by other people and their flaws is to be engaged with self. And the more we study self and work on self, the less influence and power others will exert over us.
That's right.
And that's what the minister did. He gave himself to Allah and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and now he's untouchable.
That's right.
They know it, the synagogue of Satan. They know that. Why do you think that the number one killer in the history of humanity and humankind, because they're kind of human, that they would not just move on him?
That's right.
You know, when according to them, he hardly has any followers, that's what they said.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But then they turn around and say, but he can call 20, 30,000 people any time.
Right, right.
Okay?
Right.
You know, his influence has diminished. That's what they said in the Sun Times.
Come on.
But if his influence has diminished, then why are you putting his children on the front page of the newspaper?
That's right. That's right.
See?
That's right.
So he has cast them into such a rage. They're losing their touch with logic.
That's right.
Because he has accepted his own, and he is himself.
That's right. That's
and it goes
right.
back to your point, Dr. Wesley. That's why I'm following him. You know?
That's right.
He's himself. He's we finally get to see how to live.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Beautiful.
You know.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much, Brother Michael, for that. All right, we're down to 35 minutes. We had a two-hour show. We have Brother Donald on
doesn't
the line.
Doesn't even feel that way.
No, not at all.
Well, that's some deep stuff we into right here.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Exactly.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Donald.
As-salamu alaykum, Sister Ava.
Walaikum salam, sir.
Brother Terrence, Brother Dr. Ridgely, and Brother Wesley. Wonderful to hear from y'all, to speak with y'all. I just got a couple comments here. First, I would like to say that I was listening online and it just went silent. So I don't know if that's something with on my end.
Illuminati.
Yeah, probably.
Is that something
not
on my end or what?
Yeah.
But I
it's
kept
happening.
Refreshing and it wouldn't come back up, so I just got on the phone.
Called in. Yes, sir. Thank you for reprising me.
But I also would like to say that I want to comment on the Trayvon Martin situation. You know,
yeah.
I think that we will not see any justice from the courts in this situation simply because of the time that we are in.
Mm.
Minister has made it clear that we are in a time where the man of sin must be revealed or will be revealed. He is being revealed. And in order for him to be revealed, he must clearly be exposed in his very nature. And so what is essential to his nature is injustice. And so I don't think that we will see justice coming from this man or his system, but justice is the weapon, as the minister, as the messenger has stated, that is going to be used by Allah in this day of judgment. So I just wanted to make that comment. Also, we not only is the case of Trayvon Martin in the news are happening, but also the young sister, Ayanna Jones, who was shot.
Yes.
Her case is also in the news. Same thing there. I don't think we will see any justice. As a matter of fact, here in Austin, Texas, we just went through a situation where a young man who was a passenger in a car was shot 5 times by the police and killed, claiming that the driver tried to run over him, but the grand jury did not find that to be factual, so he was not. The men were not committing, the young men, 16 and 21, were not committing any crime. They were not indicted by the grand jury for anything, but neither were the police. And the criminal grand jury, did not find the police guilty, nor did the civil grand jury, grand civil court, did not do anything against them either. So we did not see justice in that case, and I don't think we're going to see justice in any of the cases that we're seeing, because it's time for the man of sin to be revealed. And our people are going to continue to hold on to any inkling of hope that comes from this system. And so I don't think Allah is going to let that happen, because we have to lose, be 100% dissatisfied to make any kind of change in our hearts and minds. But thank you all for your program, and I enjoy every time, every Thursday I listen.
Thank you, Brother Donald. And thank you. Walaikum salam, and thank you for those observations. Right on it. We're not going to see it. We're not going to see justice. And the only way, and he just closed with it, we're not going to let go until we have 100% dissatisfaction. And then... And you know, the messenger said to us, Allah will make you separate. That's how he's doing it.
Yes.
By snatching every crumb that we're clinging to out of our hand,
right,
including this deferred dream of a black president. I'm gonna let y'all have it. I'm gonna let y'all have a
that's
black
right.
president
that's
so you can see it makes no difference.
That's a good point.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Just get that out of your head. Okay, 8 years.
Right.
And we are worse off than we've ever been.
Yep.
That's
well, you know, just like in any major city, once they allowed black mayors to come in, the city was already going down, the tax base was taken
right.
out, then they put a black mayor in so they can blame it. So our brother Obama
Absolutely.
Was put at the head of declining affairs, so that they
he
can
was.
Blame it on a black man, poor man. Mr. Farrakhan said, it's a terrible time to be Pharaoh.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
here,
right.
you take it, right? That's absolutely the case. So we've got Dr. Salam, who's one of our dear favorite callers. Dr. Salam, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, Dr. Ava, and to Dr. Wesley, Dr. Ridley, and Brother Flight Lieutenant, Brother Terrence. I'm sure he's gone by now.
He is. He took flight. Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, praise be to Allah. You know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was actually in the heart transplant business. He set the minister's heart aright.
That's right.
Because the position of your heart will determine the power of your words. And right now, our brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, has the most powerful words under the sun. They really don't want a face-to-face showdown to get embarrassed in front of all of their kind and their niggers. They are screaming out foul play because they're looking for Negroes to come out, like Kanye and some of the others. And don't think we're not going to have that ass up, too. We're not going to let them get by just because, but we're not going to let them slide by just because they black. Black don't you black.
Right.
Your obedience to God makes you one of the original ones. So the problem, what's going on now is that, you know, Satan himself is frightened. You know, he took his currency and put on the dollar bill, E pluribus unum, out of many, one. That's great, but damn it, it didn't apply to you. It's applying to the slaves because we're standing up many and we're evolving into this one. They also put on that dollar bill annuit coeptus, which was the Isle of Providence or the Isle of Horus. And it's saying that God has favored our undertaking. Well, that's another lie. He's not favored your undertaking. He's favored our undertaking. He's making the last first. So the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad told our brother, Brother Farrakhan, many years ago, he said, "Dear brother, at a certain point, you will get all of our people." But brothers and sisters, dear family, our people are not just here in America. Not only will the messenger raise America, he's going to raise the entire world where the believers are. And they can see that coming. Even we can't at this point. But it's got to be that way because Allah says so. So I just really appreciate the things that I've heard, and I'll keep listening for the rest of the show. And Dr. Wesley, I really enjoyed you, dear brother.
Oh, thank you, I enjoyed you, beloved Dr. Salam.
Yes, sir, but you got to know, only the most powerful black woman on this planet could have called you, and you came.
Oh.
As-salamu alaykum.
And she's one of my heroes in Islam. Whenever she calls, says, "I get out of the sit bed and come." But Dr. Ava, next time I get out of the sit bed and come, I will be better behaved, I promise.
Yes, sir. In just a little while, I won't be any more sick bed.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Right. That's right. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Salam.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Dr. Salam. Thank you for that beautiful, beautiful analysis. And the time is just going away from us. I had inadvertently skipped over Sister Sherita. And that looks like the Baltimore area.
Yes, ma'am.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, Sister Ava. Oh, beautiful show, beautiful show.
Thank you, ma'am.
Dr. Wesley, just so beautiful. One of the things, I had so much, I was sitting here taking notes, you know, and I was thinking about, so I guess because of time, I'll just speak on this. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, how he's calling out the synagogue of Satan and how he's dealing with this Illuminati, so-called Illuminati. But I thought about it, but Brother Wesley said he did an article on the 24 scientists, you know, and as you were talking all throughout the this process, I kept thinking about the 20 secret of secret societies, you know, and as we're going through these trials, just knowing that this is, we have the secret of secret societies, the 24 scientists.
Right.
You know, so I just
right.
wanted to end out, and I'm so excited, I'm going to calm myself down. But that, knowing that right there, praise be to Allah. Brother Wesley, I read your article, beautiful article. Sister Ava, you already know you are my hero, Shiro. Praise Allah. Dr. Frisbee, each and every one of you, but I'm going to close. Assalamu alaikum, beloved. Love you all.
Love you back.
And as usual, the callers on this show, they bring it. They never fail
right.
to bring it. You know, it's just incredible. They always bring something you hadn't thought of. You know, another perspective
right.
that is so true. I mean, we have this thing hands down. It's all waiting on the so-called Negro, which includes us.
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes,
I love what Dr. Salam said about, you know, we're not sparing these so-called Negroes who fail to read and listen to the stand down letter.
Right.
You know, you couldn't ask for more grace than to
That's
accept
right.
the minister's offer. Just have a seat. I'm not
Just
asking you to
Get
be in the battle. Just be quiet.
That is grace.
You know,
grace.
I mean, what that is grace, isn't
Very
it?
Very magnanimous of the minister.
Magnanimous. I'm not asking you to fight with me. I'm just saying don't be their dog. Don't bark at me. Let them come out.
That's right.
Get out the way. That's all. And we're going to see
an
inability
to do it.
That's
what you call an offer you can't refuse.
Offer you can't refuse if you're rational, you know.
Well, you know, they just got big mouths, and sometimes they wind up with their foot right up in there. So,
that's
you know,
true.
they're just talking heads. They're not really leaders, because that's why when they pushed up on my power, they just buck dance. But they have to be exposed, because until there's a criteria, you know, Master Farah Muhammad is the master of the Day of Judgment, and Mr. Farrakhan is that criteria. So this is how we divide the wheat from the chaff, is through his
exactly
actions
right.
and everybody else's reactions to him.
Right. That
right.
that becomes
right.
the measure. And as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, see, we're so enamored and hypnotized by these little cheap trinkets of
Lord.
The white man's world.
That's
and
right.
we're so
That's
into
right.
it that it never crosses our mind that there's something better than this.
Right.
You know,
right.
the Miles Davis raised the question, compared to what? You know, we think we're living good, and we're not even alive.
That's right.
right.
And we think living is having a smartphone. You know?
That's right. Whoa,
you know,
I stand this. I love
We just... We won't even consider an alternative to this. You know,
that's right.
and that's what, at the end of the day, makes a man speak out against Farrakhan at the behest of his own enemy. That's what brings
right.
that about. You're hypnotized.
Right.
And couldn't snap out of it. It's very sad. But we have a question for you, Dr. Wesley, from Sister Zava. Assalamu alaikum,
yes,
Sister Zava.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava, and thank you guys so much for taking my call. Assalamu alaikum to
oh,
the
welcome.
Entire panel.
Thank
you,
salam.
Brother Wesley?
Sister Zava Ali?
Yes, sir.
Oh, beloved, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm so happy to hear you on the show tonight. I'm not going to take too much time. I just wanted to ask you if you could give your expression or interpretation or definition of who or what is Allah. And in answering that, I wanted to offer the rest of the listeners, the Book of God is an absolute masterpiece, the book that changed my life. And I highly, 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 highly recommend it. I've read that book 5 times, and I'm still studying it to this day. So if you could answer that question for me, brother, and let us know as believers what we can do to internalize and manifest what I know is going to be your answer, what we can do as believers in order to put the Godhood into effect.
Yes, ma'am. Praise Allah, to Allah. The honor and pleasure is mine, to Zaza. Now, who is Allah? That's a huge question. In my opinion,
the most practical. If you have to give the black man and woman in 2013 a quick, practical answer to that question, Allah is the black man and woman who accepts their own and bees themselves. I know bees isn't a word. I was in the flow. I was in the rhythm. But Allah is the black man and woman who accepts their own and is themselves. That is the most practical answer. Allah has always been that black man and that black woman. So it's imperative that we do as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad beckoned us to do. Accept your own and be yourself, and understand that when he said accept your own and be yourself, that was his articulation of Psalms 86, arise, O God. See, the psalmist was beckoning the fallen gods to get back up, to accept their own and be themselves. That was the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who engineered the process. Well, he didn't engineer it. He received the toolkit from the engineer, and he is the engine of that process of God arising, or the resurrection of the God of Allah coming back to himself. And that's what we're talking about, the black man and woman coming back to ourselves and being ourselves. The truth of the matter is that's Allah being himself. That's the short answer, beloved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Awesome. And how do we order your books?
Yes, ma'am. You can go to A Team Publishing. That's A-T-E-A-M Publishing.com and order mine, as well as Wakilla Laws and all of the Allah Team products currently available. That's www.ateampublishing.com.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sister Zaba, for that question, to bring out that profound response from Dr. Wesley. We've got Brother Hoyle. He is holding.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother family. Hoyle. Walaikum salam, Sister Ava, and assalamu alaikum to Dr. Wesley and the beautiful Dr. Ridgely, and y'all are some powerful brothers, and the powerful black woman, Sister Ava. Did you all see that tornado go through D.C. today? It was a tornado north of D.C.?
No, I didn't
know. That's just part of Allah's wrath. I heard a caller call.
Oh, yes, sir, the Capitol.
yeah, the Capitol. Oh, that's just part of what you're going to see, sister. There was a caller called in, and he was asking about beating the prophets. And I went by the mosque Sunday, and Minister Anthony was teaching on making ourselves living sacrifices. This is what I'm talking to the Nation of Islam. And we want a better, you know, like I said, Master Fahad Muhammad said he's going to push all of the DuPonts, Rockefellers, all of them to the lake of fire. We're looking at it through Minister Louis, Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Louis Farrakhan, with this time and what must be done. But if we make ourselves living sacrifices, F-O-I-N-M-G-T, and the people will follow, because, like I said, this truth to power, we're putting it to what we call, I heard them talk about the spooky Illuminati. And it, they're men, they're Talmud lovers. Now, we gotta separate this, the good ones from the bad ones. You know, and he warned us, the ones who follow the, he said, and this is why the good Jews, the righteous Jews, have to separate themselves from the Talmud lovers. These are the ones, like Sister Ava, you're talking about these bankers, these ones behind the scenes, run these corporations, and come back exclusively to God, standing up for the Torah and what God revealed. So, you know, if we come out, like I said, and push the paper, go out and get gas, you know, Twitter followers, do all of what we can as believers. Because like I said, this, like he told us last week, he said this is a dangerous time to fall asleep. You know, we're like that frog in the pot. You know, and it's a dangerous time. But we got to be strong as believers, because there's so much that's out here just trying to put us to sleep with, you know, work and things we have to go through as believers. But I guess I tell the FOI and MGC, be strong. Be strong in this dark hour, because, I mean, like he was explaining to us last week, this is a very dark hour. I'm just sitting back listening, and I want to thank you all for that, the research group, for this that beautiful article. I think Tingba Muhammad and the NOI research group did the Jewish Talmud, the separation from the good Jews and the bad Jews. That's a beautiful article right there. And Dr. Wesley, I'm going to be ordering your books, like Sister Ava and Dr. Ridgely. I mean, all of y'all have great work. And keep up the good work. I'm just going to listen. I just put my little 2 cents in. And Sister Ava, you keep it up. And inshallah, I'll call in next week. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Love you, too. Well, love you, too, so much. Always a wonderful call from Brother Hoyle.
See, these callers is what frightens the Illuminati. Because they can see the effect of the teachings of Donald Elijah Muhammad through Minister Farrakhan. Because what they want God to do is to sit back and wait on them. But what we are doing now is being proactive and moving out, and they have to stop it, because they're the only ones who are supposed to be proactive in bringing in a world. Minister Farrakhan is instructing us to bring in a world. Well, they got to stop that world. And then when they try to stop that world, doesn't matter if Farah Muhammad is going to stop them. We have to be that bait. We have to do things that will excite them. And what excites them is when we begin to move out on our own. They can't handle that. Then they have to attack, and then Allah has a right to take them out.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right.
Well, you hit that. Right. Thank you so much. And we've got Sister Nisi has been holding. I think her call dropped earlier, and she came back on, so she's joining
us. Ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava, Dr. Ridgely, Dr. Wesley. I'm nervous because I'm just on the call at the table with the gods, and I'm in awe.
Yeah,
I know
I'm
not supposed to be in awe.
I've been nervous the whole time. I feel the same way.
I know the time is running short, but I began listening to your show when you had Brother Minister Christopher on some time ago, and I mean, I have been hooked. I cannot miss a Thursday at this point. And I download them, and I listen to them, like, over and over, and I tell people, on Dr. Ava's show. And tonight, I mean, this particular show is so riveting, and there's so much richness. The thing that I called in to say, when Dr. Wesley made the point about the Illuminati and clarifying this spookyism, because you just hear Illuminati, and I was really getting sick of it, because I was like, God,
right.
It just seems like it's becoming some kind of fashion, hip-hop. It just
seems
empty after a while.
Right.
But when he explained, you know, Minister Farrakhan is fighting the Illuminati, and then when he broke it down to say he's identifying the Illuminati, it's like, I was like, oh, my God, finally.
Right.
And I just feel like so many people, I mean, that point is just, oh, my. I mean, the millions of hits about the Illuminati, that point, I pray that just really gets out. And when you said the synagogue of Satan is who we are talking about, I just want to thank you for that one. Thank you for my call.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm just going to, and just know every Thursday I am calling Dr. Ridgely. I met you at Savory Day, and I left without getting your book, so I got to figure out a way to get it ordered. But I love you all, and I thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, we're all blushing. That's great. Thank you, Sister Nisi. Thank you for that call. Awesome. Brother Emmanuel is holding with a question for Dr. Wesley as we go down into the last 10 minutes, believe it or not. Brother Emmanuel, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Sister, sorry, I'm a little nervous.
Oh, take your time. It's okay.
Yes. Just recently, me and my mother were researching the lynchings that happened in the early 1900s. And I was thinking about it with my little a little bit of knowledge I have obtained about the Illuminati and the rituals that they perform. I wanted to know if the Illuminati had anything to do with, or the rituals had anything to do with the, with like, did they have any role to play with the hangings that they did?
Good question.
Because I have not researched that specific area, I can't answer definitively, but my inclination is to say yes, and this is why. This is my factual warrant to speculate, but I would only be speculating. But we do know, for example, with the Skull and Bones order from Yale, Skull and Bones is the order that the Bushes and the local Illuminati, American Illuminati, they are channeled through Skull and Bones from Yale. We know that part of the ritual, part of the initiation, is not only the candidate and George Bush Sr. went through this. Not only does the candidate lay in a coffin naked, reciting his past sexual experiences, but each candidate is required to do something in regards to or against somebody who has fought against Western civilization. One of the things that George Bush Sr. Did was recovered the head of Geronimo, the Native American Geronimo, that the skull of the Native American Geronimo, who had fought the encroachment of the West. And so that skull was confiscated and desecrated, is what we are told. So the ritual abuse, either dead or alive, of people of color, or the abuse of people of color, is ritualized within the circles of the Illuminati. So being that that's the case, I would not at all be surprised that there is some ritualism behind at least some of the lynchings. For example, we also know that Albert Pike, the Supreme Pontiff of Scottish Rite and the head of the Illuminati in his day, he was not only a Confederate, but he was a top Ku Klux Klansman. So I'm sure some of the Ku Klux Klan lynchings had a ritualistic basis behind it.
And I can't speak to the direct relationship with the Illuminati to the lynchings, but if you go back, if you look at how the Romans who did the crucifixions mm-hmm. were to cause terror into people, whereas with the way we do it in Islam, you know, with the when we have a killing because of a breaking of the law, it's quick and it's over with, whereas they continue to put people through trauma, and this is to have an effect on the spirit of the people, to have to fear them more than they fear God.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to jump in right quick, just to say what to add on to what Dr. Bridgley said. The ultimate aim of this secret society and group is to remain in power. how did you remain in power? You make those that you want under your control submissive to you, and the greatest way to make someone submissive to you is to put fear into them and to make them see you as the ultimate power. So once you start to fear them more than you fear God, then they become the illuminated ones or the God that you worship. So their ultimate aim is that you worship. So as the Illuminati, as the sheepdogs, as Dr. Richard said about the ADL, they always use others to do their dirty work so that they can remain in power. And the more they get others to do their bidding, they can slip way, way, way back into the darkness where they cannot be seen. So all of the things, you know, is more than the secret rituals of killing. You know, it's more so of being in control of the wheat, of the grain, of the land, as we see that Monsanto has power to manipulate and kill and destroy at will. Who's behind this? Who's behind to the point that Monsanto doing in European countries has almost caused people to have a war with Russia because of the bees? You know, so there's a lot of things that they do just to make sure that they are in power, but sometimes they make us get caught up in what we think they're doing versus, and that's why I think when we follow the minister, he's pulling them out and he's bringing them out and exposing us. So as Dr. Wester so eloquently said, don't think of the Illuminati as Jay-Z and Beyonce. That's not it. And we can get caught up in that part of it and miss the bigger picture.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your question.
That's true. We think the sign is the destination. You know, we see, oh, New York, 50 miles. Well, you're not there yet. That's a sign.
Right.
That's right.
Directing you toward that. And that is where we are now. We have to see beyond those who are symbolic of who the real enemy is. But real quickly, as we go down to 2 minutes, to Dr. Rizzi's point about the agonizing death of lynching, and even in many cases where the victim would try to shorten the torture and finish themselves off, they would not allow them to do that. They made them undergo hours and sometimes days before death, even as Jesus was crucified over a protracted period of time. And part of that is the rage and anger at God.
Come on.
Yes.
For choosing this people over them. And they are angry at God because of who they are. And they can't do anything to their maker, Dr. Yacoub, and so they take it out on the black man and woman. And, you know, Master Farhad Muhammad called the black man a savage, and he called the Caucasian a beast. So no matter how advanced and polished they become intellectually, in their heart, they're a beast.
That's right.
And that's what that manifests. And so I want to give my deepest love and appreciation to you, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, for sharing. Oh, my goodness. Awesome, awesome. And we're going to do this, if you allow it, we're going to try to do this on a regular basis. Dr. Ridgely, thank you as always. You just have a certain perspective that is unique. Brother Terrence, Sister LaDonna Muhammad, our IT specialist, Sister Rona Muhammad, Brother Bobby Muhammad, and most of all, thank you, listeners and callers, for making Elevated Places the place to be. May Allah bless all of us with love and light, and inshallah, we'll be together next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you for listening to and
participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahatma. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.